Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our fifth study in the book of Job. We come today to chapter 9, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we're about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Job says, or the Bible says, in chapter 9, verse 1, "Then Job answered and said, 'Truly, I know it is so. But how can a man be righteous before God?'" Now, Bildad has been talking to Job. And Bildad really didn't tell Job anything new. God blesses the good. Great. That's true. But how can a guy get right with God? Verse 3. "If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of 1,000. If a man tried to convince God that he was good, the man wouldn't stand a chance. 4. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Those who have determined to fight against God have discovered that they were idiots. Prideful, foolish idiots. Doesn't work. 5. He removes the mountains, and they do not know when he overturns them in his anger. People who think they can get away with opposing God, they are talking about a God who can flip a mountain upside down. Verse 6. He shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. Oppose God? I don't think so. He could grab the earth, and he could shake it to pieces. 7. He commands the sun, and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. Weather forecasters really should say, "Sunrise tomorrow at 7 a.m. if God allows it, otherwise it won't, because that's the truth. 8. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Man can't even stretch taffy by himself. God stretched out the universe. Actually, he's still doing it. That's why it's expanding. 9. He made the bear, Orion, and the Pleiades in the chambers of the south. God made the constellations. The Big Dipper, Orion, whatever, they are no accident. God embroidered the night sky with special decorations. 10. He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. God does incredible things that we can't even begin to understand. Sometimes all we can do is say, 'How does he do it?' and just let our mind go blank trying to figure it out. 11. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. We do not see God, but he is right here, right now, right next to you and right next to me. 12. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, 'What are you doing?' Nothing we have, including our life, is really ours. It all belongs to God. And when he says, 'I'm taking it back, I'm removing it from you,' no one can stop him. 13. God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him. Everyone who thinks they are so tough, and everyone who thinks they have an alternative to Almighty God and his Son Jesus Christ, is trusting in nothing. They will be sobbing little cowards, crying out for mercy in the day of God's wrath. 14. How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? How can anyone put together a defense that would convince God that they are righteous? No one can. 15. For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. Job is saying that he is not guilty of gross sin, as his so-called friends have been suggesting. But he says, I could never prove that to God. He says, I need God's mercy. Verse 16, if I called and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. In other words, if God answered me out loud, I don't believe I'd think it was him. 17, for he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He says, God is knocking me around for no good reason. Well, God isn't knocking Job around because of some sin. That's true. But God has a reason for allowing this evil into his life. He always has a reason for doing that. 18. He may not allow me to catch my breath, or he will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. Ever been hit in the stomach and just had the wind knocked out of you? Job says, God keeps hitting me in the stomach, and I can't catch my breath. 19. If it is a matter of strength, indeed, he is strong. And if of justice, who will appoint my day in court? God is stronger than me, and I can't take him to court. In other words, there's nothing I can do to stop him from hurting me. Nothing. 20. Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. Job says, I might as well just shut up, because anything I say in defense of myself just makes me sound worse. Well, he's right about that. 21. I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. I'm blameless. I don't know why all this bad stuff is happening, and I hate my life, is what Job is saying. 22. It is all one thing. Therefore I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. The good and the bad suffer. Therefore I guess it just doesn't matter. That is the type of twisted conclusions people arrive at when they get their theology from experience instead of Holy Scripture. 23. If the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. Okay, now Job is stepping over the line. He is guilty of blasphemy here. God laughs at innocent people when calamity hits them, Job says. 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? God is responsible for corrupt leaders. God is responsible for the bad things people do. Job, God will make you eat those words someday. 25. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. Job's life is flying by, and I'm sure he feels like it's being wasted too. 27. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile. In other words, if I try to look on the bright side of things. 28. I am afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. In other words, Job says, if I try to look on the bright side, I fear that God will bring even more trouble. 29. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain? God found me guilty. There's no point in trying to be good or complaining about my circumstances. 30. If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you will plunge me into the pit, and my clothes will abhor me. Job says, if I try to clean up my act, God will push me into the mud. You know, Job thinks that God is against him. Again, that is the kind of theology that you arrive at if you use experience instead of Scripture as a guide, because it's simply not true. 32, for he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we may go to court together. I'm innocent, but I can't sue God for damages, says Job. 33, nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Job would agree to binding arbitration, but he knows that God would not. 34, let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. He says, if I could find someone who could take that big club out of God's hand, then I would tell God what I really think. You know what? I'd say, Job, you've already said too much, and you're going to live to regret it too. And he will. Chapter 10, verse 1. My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Job hates his life. He will complain and not hold back, he says. 2. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Job is saying, God, don't declare me guilty without telling me what I did wrong. 3. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? Lord, you made me, but you're not taking care of what you own, so how can this be a good thing that you are doing? 4. Do you have eyes of flesh, or do you see as man sees? God sees all. Darkness doesn't hide anything from God. God even sees what's going on in a person's mind. His eyes penetrate. No, he does not have eyes of flesh. 5. Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man? God is eternal. God sees the end from the beginning, all at one time. Job is saying, there's no need for this long, dragged-out examination of me, Lord. Just show me what I'm guilty of. You live in eternity, God. You are eternal. Why do you have to prolong this thing? 6. That you should seek for my iniquity and search out my sin. It's like you're torturing me, Lord, trying to force a confession out of me. 7. Although you know that I'm not wicked, and there is no one who can deliver from your hand. Lord, I'm not guilty. You know that. But you also know that no one can deliver me from you. 8. Your hands have made me and fashioned me in intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Doesn't make sense, Lord. You made me like a skilled craftsman, and now you're destroying me. 9. Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? You did such a good job making me out of the earth, but now you're reversing it and turning me back to dust, God. 10. Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Job, in a very modest but a very accurate way, talks of how God made him in the very beginning from a milky substance. Lord, from that small beginning, you framed my body. 11. Clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. Lord, you gave me life. You loved me. You guarded me. And the me that Job is talking about here is Job's soul. God clothed the real Job in a body. He says, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. You gave me life, Lord. You loved me. You guarded me. Why is this happening? We'll pick up our study in chapter 10, verse 13, next time. Until then, so long, everyone.